Okay, could we start by the group one led by Judith about the sum up of this interesting discussion? Thank you.
Thank you, Patrice. Our group started with question three, that is the ambassadorial role, and we decided that being ambassadors, with the connotations that word has of totally defending one's country and perhaps even sometimes lying, was not the right phrase for what we should do. We thought that our job was to help outreach globally. We're part of the IFRS architecture. We need to support and facilitate. That doesn't mean we'll always agree, but we need to understand the differences and communicate them. We need to encourage engagement, and if we find an ivory tower perception, which it appears still exists in some parts of the world, we need to explain why the board does not work in an ivory tower. In bridging the gap in understanding, it's a two-way process, both bringing gaps in understanding to the attention of the board and bringing to our constituents greater understanding of the board's and the trustees' processes. And that can be done proactively when we speak at conferences, when we report back to the groups that we represent, and when we talk generally to people that we know. We should encourage the involvement of industry groups within countries and not just leave it to the national standard setters, where inevitably things get sanitised to reach a consensus. We felt that we were privileged to belong to this body and that that therefore creates an obligation. Many of us write reports after each meeting and post them on various parts of the web, and many present at conferences. But more importantly, we thought the emphasis should not be on us as individuals, but should be on encouraging our organisations to organise forums for discussions of IFRS, to promote IFRS through articles, through conferences. In other words, to mobilise the power of the organisations that we represent. We commented that we are a bigger group than the IASB. We represent more people than the IASB members can, and we come from very different fields and are all experts in those fields. And therefore, our meetings need to be very efficient and effective. And from that comment, we segued into question one, which was how we communicate internally and with whom we communicate. We made it very clear that we thought the more effectively we do our role in advising the board and the trustees, the better success the IASB will have and the better the profile of the IASB. So our role is to advise. It's not to be the stars, but it's sometimes, perhaps, to help potential damage be averted. And we had a couple of examples where we had done that, or perhaps we'd given some feedback that had helped the IASB, such as a very spontaneous vote on full fair value that we had, our comments around achieving the June 2011 agenda, or actually not achieving it was our preference at the time. So we were measuring success in terms, sometimes, of giving a constructive comment that wasn't fully supportive of the direction of the IASB or the trustees. Not always, but sometimes. And we thought it was very important that we give such messages very clearly and very constructively, because the success of the board and the trustees is our success. And if we're critical, we should try not to be negative or aggressive about us, because that will get a negative reaction from the board. Having said that, we had some good feedback from a board member and a trustee member on when we do give constructive criticism. They said they thought that was very helpful and that crystallising our views or reaching a consensus at times was very helpful. We noted the power of the summary from the chair or the deputy chairs, and a lot of people commented on how useful those summaries that you do, Paul, were in pulling the threads of quite diverse discussions together, and we thought they provided good consolidated views. Having said that it's very helpful if we can crystallise views, we also noted that we don't always get consensus and we should not force it when we don't get consensus. The guidance and the diversity of views, we think, communicates enough to the trustees and the board. And the signals from us are as important. And on this, a point came across that's quite off the agenda, but I've got permission to make it. We thought the first 5 years was all about Europe, the second 5 years was all about convergence with the US, and the next 5 years, we think, is all about the emerging markets. Okay. On to point two, one further point on the internal communication. We did not think that the monitoring board should be communicated with directly by the advisory committee. We thought we should be respectful of the hierarchy and communicate with the board and the trustees. Unless something had gone terribly wrong, that would be our form of communication with the monitoring board. In terms of external communication, we did not see a need to be putting out reports after each meeting, particularly where the message we have given is something that is what I'd call constructive criticism. We did not see any need for that to be put out in a force-fed email to constituents or anything like that. The meetings are public. People can hear what we want to say if they wish to follow our meetings. We're happy for our website to be a little bit more fulsome around our agenda and who we are and what we do, but we're not madly supportive of official communication after each meeting. We note that our report to the trustees is a very good report, but it only goes to the trustees and to the members of the council and, I guess, our board. So our priority was not to promote ourselves, but rather to work for the success of the organisation. We do think it's important that we know our message has been heard, and I think I personally got more feedback in that meeting from trustee and board members than I have over several meetings. So it's very important that we have good communications with trustees and boards. In particular, we have often given the message around calming down on the agenda, and that was part of our deliberations on the agenda committee, and that came up again several times in our little breakout group, and we're not certain how well that has been heard at this stage. So that's a summary of how we worked through the three questions, and if I've omitted anything, I'm sure members of the group will add it.
Okay, many thanks, Judith. It was very comprehensive and loyal because I was a part of your group. Thank you very much. Your turn, Nari.
Thank you, Patrice. Our views have been very consistent, with the exception that we didn't start at question three, we started in question one. Discussion about who are our internal constituents, and we had an interesting discussion about the monitoring board, and I think where we concluded is very similar to where you were, but not necessarily precluding the avenues of communication with the monitoring board to the extent that there are some issues that clearly need to be raised with the monitoring board and are of significance to the monitoring board. The other area where we threw some sort of distinction is if the monitoring board will likely to take a more active role depending on the outcome of its active consultation now with respect to issues of agenda setting and priorities, the council may take a more active role in promoting some council view in this regard. The second question that we tackled was associated with the stakeholders. We felt fairly comfortable with the lineup of stakeholders, that this group is a representative group. Individuals within this group should be and would be reaching out to their constituents with respect to sharing those views. We felt that the information shared with the particular groups is appropriate, but we did make few suggestions for improvements, including a potentially executive summary of the council activities that could be done by virtue of PowerPoint that will link to some more elaborate presentation of what was shared with the committee that can be shared with our constituencies, particularly those that have some sort of a lesser attention span to documentation as extensive as we getting before committee meetings, and even those that have a short attention span to Paul's summaries that are 10 to 15 pages. But those could be almost a periodic summary of the group activities. We felt that the information is quite appropriate with the exception of that, and we could make some enhancements to our website to make it more readily available. The third topic that we discussed was the role of ambassador, and our discussion kind of took us to some discussion where can you really serve in an ambassador role at the same time that you are there to provide some sort of critique to the system and constantly keep the system on its toes. And we concluded after some discussion where some of us felt that, you know, an ambassador role could connote kind of a blind agreement with everything that's coming out of the ISB may not be appropriate given the other side of the hat that we're wearing, which is the hat of providing constructive critique to the process. After some discussion, we noted that the role is not necessarily mutually exclusive, and you can serve in a role that could be kind of a lowercase ambassador in the context of promoting the brand, being able to share some issues associated with the critique that being fed into the process, all done in a constructive and ambassadorial fashion. The other suggestion that was made in this particular context, in addition to the one that was highlighted in the write-up itself, which was to put the bios on the website, was associated with first making sure that all of us will actually make sure that their bios do highlight the fact that they're members in this particular committee. And there were some comments made that it's not in all of our bios, it is being listed. The other element that was discussed is a potential recommendation to the board or the trustees to include committee members in external communications, whether those are webcasts, IFRS conferences, and during those interactions, highlight the fact that the individuals holds the capacity of an advisory committee member. I neglected to mention another point going back to our question two with respect to communications, and we highlighted poll summary that I made to the board in frequent intervals. A suggestion was made to include a few council members in that particular discussion that they could add further color and provide further insights to Paul's summary. We had a fruitful discussion that was quite long, so I probably missed many key points. I'd like to just open it to any other group members to just keep me honest if I missed anything. Thank you.
I guess on the concept of our communication with the monitoring board, we talked about not losing sight of the fact that we do have representatives here in the council from the monitoring board. So, just something to add.
Okay, thank you very much. Very good points, common sense. And the third group, Mark, please, your turn.
Yes, thank you, Patrice. Yeah, we also had quite a lively debate in the European group. We started off with question one on the relations with the internal stakeholders and the board. I think there was a general feeling that we can still do better as a council. We revisited some of the discussion that we also had in the performance self-assessment that we. We still, I think, would benefit sometime from being the board being a bit more specific on exactly where they are looking for advice from the council, where they want feedback on, and for us perhaps, you know, to be a bit more courageous as council to also just provide unsolicited advice if that's not being asked for. As an example, it was mentioned by some of the board members, for example, this morning's discussion on the impairment that Hans mentioned. There were only a few reactions. What was actually more expected from us in terms of reacting to the points? And you know, would we perhaps have benefited from having that on the agenda? So that when, so I thought there was a message for both. I think perhaps for us as members to be make sure that we are proactive and giving unsolicited advice, and still working on being clearer on the issues the board is actually looking for advice on from us. That also then led us to a bit of a discussion on the role of the agenda committee. We noted that the agenda committee always looks quite far ahead. We're always looking 6 months ahead, and suggestion was made that perhaps we also should still have a kind of a confirmatory call just before the meeting, perhaps a few weeks before the meeting, to see whether there are any hot topics that need to be added and that could usefully be discussed. That was one of the suggestions. And there were a couple of examples mentioned of topics that also for this meeting may then have been added. Then we also touched that it would still be useful to, where it is possible, to prepare more specific advice, also perhaps some written advice. We still see the post 2011 agenda paper that we produced as you know, a very good example of what we can do if we have some consensus, and also including straw polls and voting to see what the balance of opinion is quite useful, because that would also then facilitate, you know, council members speaking about the council activities. We also discussed the interaction with the monitoring board. I think the views in our group were actually quite mixed with respect to should we or should we not link with the monitoring board. There were some in the group that actually felt that there was a role, perhaps, Paul, for you as the chair, others to give also a report to the monitoring board from time to time, but people also recognized that there is a hierarchy, and there's also some risk of duplication, and the point was made, as in the other group, that we should not forget that we already have all the organizations that are represented on the monitoring board also here in the rooms, and they will give their own reports. So I think overall, I would say a bit of reluctance to engage with the monitoring board as actively as we do with the other internal constituents. With the trustees, I think interaction and the profile of the council has already been improved through the trustees' participation in these meetings. And also, Chef Lucy said, still also on the side of the trustees, more deliberate contemplation of how the trustees use the council is something that is that is warranted that they should be doing. On the external communications, we reaching out to external stakeholders, I think generally people feel, well, we actually, most of the stakeholders are already represented here, so who would you reach out to? We had some discussion whether you should actually be reaching out to perhaps groups that wanted to be on this council but did not get a seat because there are not sufficient spaces, and is there then, something to do for individual council members to also reach out to those if they're close to your profession? So that was a discussion that we had. Again, some were quite reluctant to say, because I'm only representing my own organization. There were some general agreement that it would be useful actually to have an update after every meeting, just with just a brief discussion on what the council had discussed. And so the European section would be in favor of some sort of an update. The suggestions of a list of CVs and profiles of the members was broadly supported, as was the website that was shown on the DPOC, and a similar one for us. On the ambassadorial role, the first comment that was made is that perhaps it's not a good terminology, because you cannot be a real ambassador in the sense that we're not actually part of the IASB. We are advisors to the organization, so we cannot speak on behalf, but we all are committed to the overall aim of global standards, and in that sense we obviously can all play a role, encourage people to participate, to engage in the process, and that's something that I think as council members we should take upon us. We talked briefly about speaking engagements. Again, a bit of mixed reactions. Some say, well, it's difficult because I can only speak on behalf of my own organization. That's especially true for regulators. Others, may feel a bit more freedom to speak on behalf of or just to accept speaking engagements. And Perhaps it's an idea to just ask for to do that on a voluntary basis and to maintain a list of those council members that would be interested in accepting speaking engagements if you're looking for people. Clearly, whenever you go out as a council member, you would still have a disclaimer saying that you speak on behalf of your own organization, but that you're a member of the council. In that sense, I think a good suggestion that was made, as Steve made it, that perhaps it would be useful if we would have some kind of a standard slide pack that just has three or four slides that just says, well, here is what the council does. Here is, how it works, and here are some of the issues that are currently under debate. And if you keep that current, it would be quite easy for members of this council to incorporate that into whatever speaking engagements they accept. So that was the discussion of the European group, and I invite members of my group to supplement anything that I've forgotten.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you all. I think this session has been very productive. I have the feeling that we have a certain number of grounds which could be compromised and define a new policy for our communication. Even if I have absolutely understood all the nuances of what you've said right now, I will, with the help of John, I will prepare for tomorrow a quick sum up of the global ideas we have exchanged, and as the former meeting, we'll get also a complete sum up of what has been said for the next meeting. But I think it's really interesting and very effective for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrice. Any comments or questions of members before we move on? I am in trouble. Jim.
Could I, Patrice, just ask you, you said that you'd bring a summary back to the next council meeting, but would the summary have some recommendations of a way forward or simply...
Tomorrow, a quick sum up tomorrow, 5 minutes. What? And secondly, if you consider the sum up of the former meeting regarding what we have said in the breakout session, which is, I consider, really good and made by John, we will get a more complete sum up written which will be released very, very quickly. But tomorrow I propose to make a quick sum up. I need just to recollect what has been said. Okay, thank you.
And that would be my suggestion, that we intend to carry this forward. It links very much to the performance assessment that we did, and one of my to-do on my list for the current year is, we've got to come back to that assessment periodically and judge the degree of progress and reevaluate what we'd like to do. So this is very much in that context that we will try and capture. I look forward to your summation tomorrow morning, Patrice. Jan will do a more extensive summary of the main points. We can check with each of the discussion leaders to make sure they're comfortable with that summary. Then we'll reflect on it, and I think we'll refer it to the agenda committee in terms of timing, whether it's appropriate to come back to it in February, but if not February, I would assume it not later than June. And meanwhile, if other suggestions come to mind, please bring them forward. And we had a number of trustees with us and a number of board members, and the discussion very much engaged them as well as council members, and they may need some time to reflect and caucus privately. So it's certainly, the concern was, is this going to drop and just be another interesting conversation? We intend to extract the best and act on it. Fair enough?
Hey, add something. I'm speaking as a member of the group one. I would say that we discussed about the point one and the better communication with inside IFRS organization means mainly trustees. And personally, I say that this morning, some talkings have been very interesting and constructive. And I want to speak about two subjects. One was, the other was also interesting, but two subjects, oversight, due process committee, and the other one was IFRIC. It's curious to note that these two subjects has been brought by trustees. Trustees were asking our opinion on this different subject. And it seems to me that we were in our role. That means to give our feeling, that means the feeling of our organization or the feeling of, I would say, what we represent or the outside world on these two points, IFRIC and the fact that oversight due process committee is an important step in the progress for ISB to work. And we think in our role, and we personally, I thought that when we are in our role, I think the communication is very easy. We are speaking freely. We give, we think, useful opinion, and it's a part of the success of our communication to be in our role when we are sitting together.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to your comments tomorrow morning, Patrice.